Let's continue in our talks from John by reading John chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. In these verses, the Lord Jesus elaborated on his claim to be God by claiming attributes and activities that belong to God alone. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Once again, some background notes first of all. In verse 19, we read, "Then Jesus answered and said to them." Who is the them? Who is Jesus talking to in these verses? The them are the Jews that are finding fault with Jesus. They are finding fault with him because, one, he healed the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day. And two, Jesus made it clear that he was claiming to be God. Look back at verse 17. "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" Notice that the Lord did not say, "our Father," but "my Father." He was claiming a special relationship with God, which no one else had. And by saying, "my Father has been working until now, and I have been working," the Lord Jesus was putting himself on the same level as God the Father. This was a clear claim to deity, and the Jews knew exactly what Jesus was claiming, because we read in verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Now in verses 19 through 23, we see that the Lord elaborated on his claim to be God. These verses show that the Jews did not misunderstand what the Lord had said back in verse 17. Jesus very definitely claimed to be God, fully God. Well, so much for background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal points or teaching points from these verses. Doctrinal point number one, Jesus claimed the attributes of God for himself. Jesus claimed the attributes of God for himself. Now, when we say attributes of God, we mean qualities of character that are inherent to God. Three of the essential attributes of God are his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. Omniscience means all-knowing. God knows everything. Omnipotence means all-powerful. God has infinite power. And omnipresent means present everywhere at once. God is omnipresent. As God, Jesus claimed these attributes for himself. Listen to verses 19 through 20 again and hear the Lord's claims. "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel.'" When the Lord says in verse 20 that the Father loves and shows him all things that he himself does, he is not only claiming a special love relationship with the Father, he is claiming omniscience. He knows all things that God does. God is sovereign. God controls everything. That means that Jesus knows everything. He is omniscient. Omniscience is an attribute of God. Jesus claimed omniscience for himself. Therefore, he claimed to be no less than God. In verse 19, the Lord says, "For whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner." That's a claim to omnipotence. Whatever God does, the Son also does in like manner. Think of all that God does in this vast universe. By his infinite power, he upholds the universe, from the smallest subatomic particles to the largest galaxies. And Jesus is claiming that for himself. Only God has such infinite power. Jesus clearly is claiming to be God. This claim that the Lord Jesus made of omnipotence is certainly supported by the teaching of the rest of the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, we read, "For by him, that is by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." The omnipotence of Christ. And Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says that Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. The omnipotence of Christ. Now, what about the claim to omnipresence? Here in John 5:19, the Lord implied that he sees everything the Father does. It's interesting that he used the word see and not just the word know. He sees everything the Father does. He didn't just say he knows everything the Father does. Now, while this is not a direct claim to omnipresence, and the word see used here might be used figuratively, this statement at least hints that the Lord may have had his omnipresence in mind when he made such a claim. The doctrine of the omnipresence of God states that all of God is in all places at all times. Now, it's true that the physical body of our Lord Jesus was in only one place at a time. But that does not deny Christ his attribute of omnipresence. Our Lord is alive today, bodily, in his resurrection body. That was and is a material body. He will return bodily. And yet, our Lord is omnipresent. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." That requires omnipresence. The Lord Jesus was and is omnipresent. Jesus claimed the attributes of God for himself. Doctrinal point number two. Jesus claimed the activities of God for himself. Jesus claimed the activities of God for himself. In verses 21 and 22, there are two divine activities that the Lord claimed for himself, activities that are the activities of God alone. The first activity is the giving of life. Verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." And the second activity is the final judging of all mankind. Verse 22, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." In reference to the giving of life, the idea is more than just the act of raising people from the dead. It certainly includes the raising from the dead, because in verse 20, the Lord said that his critics would see greater works than the healing of the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, and that they would marvel. These greater works would certainly include the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But when the Lord said in verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them," the Greek word used here for life is the word zoe, which is a word that includes more than just physical life. If only raising from the dead to give physical life was meant, the word bios would be used. That's the Greek word from which we get our English word biology. So the idea in verse 21 is not just the ability to raise the dead back to life, but the ability to give eternal life. And when the Lord says at the end of verse 21, even so the Son gives life to whom he will, he is claiming that he determines who gets eternal life. Folks, if that's not a claim to be God, then I don't know what is. The other activity of God that Jesus claimed for himself is the final judgment of mankind. Verse 22, once again, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. The Bible clearly teaches that there will be a final judgment. Every person will answer to God, the creator of all. The Jews listening to Jesus certainly were aware of this truth. But the shocking truth was that Jesus was claiming this activity for himself. What a claim! Jesus claimed the activities of God for himself. What about practical application from these verses? Do you worship a pagan God? Do you worship a pagan God? What do we mean by a pagan God? The pagans worship gods of their own choosing or making. The sun, a mountain, idols of wood and stone. Is it possible that you worship a God of your own choosing or making? In verse 23, we read, all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. If you say that you worship God, but not Jesus, because Jesus was only a good man, then you don't worship the God of the Bible. You worship a pagan God, a God that you've made up according to your specifications. Verse 23, once again, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. If you don't give the Lord Jesus Christ the same divine status as God Almighty, then you don't worship the Almighty God, the God of the Bible. You worship a pagan God. You've made up your own God. So maybe we should say this even a little bit more bluntly. If you're a Unitarian, or a Mormon, or a Jehovah's Witness, and you don't give Jesus the same divine status that you give to God, then you're not worshiping the God of the Bible at all. You're worshiping a pagan God, a God of your own choosing or making. Verse 23, once again, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So let's ask the question one more time. Do you worship a pagan God?